is a real pleasure for me to introduce this gentleman. I knew him before he got into recovery, and I didn't know him very well. We met on a light basis, and I always found him very kind, and always a nice big smile on his face. I had no idea that he would walk into these rooms, or even needed to be in these rooms. And when I got into this program, I saw him, and he pretty much came in close to the same time. And it's a great joy to know that such a nice person is now in recovery and has stopped the suffering. And it's my pleasure to introduce to everyone Luke.
Hi, my name is Luke. I'm an alcoholic. So it's the first time that I share in English, and it's the first time that I share in a straight A group. I'll start with the beginning. I'm 45 years old. I come from a family of three children. I'm the oldest children. I was born in Montreal, and I was raised in the suburb most of my childhood. And since I've come, from a family where, my mother was, it was a family where I didn't feel safe. My mother was, her behavior was very fluctuating, probably she had a behavior problem, but as a child I didn't have to analyze that. I felt that I was afraid of my mother, and so there was a lot of psychological abuse, and that really, I guess as a child, when I did my fourth step, I spent a lot of time going through that, and I find that it was I didn't find my childhood very easy to go through. Since I remember, I always felt that I was a part, that I didn't belong to this world. I didn't want to be in this world. As a child, I didn't want to be part of this world. And it got worse when I start school. And I was very terrified, shy. And because I was shy, other children were picking at me. And so it was getting worse. So it went like that. So I didn't feel safe at home. I didn't feel safe at school. So I started to be, I guess, I was living in another world. I was having blackouts, I think. Part of my childhood that I don't remember. But I got through my elementary school. Then I went to high school, again, that feeling of being alienated, a feeling of isolation, was still present at that time. But I was able to make some few friends at school. Around 16, 17, where the sexual identity started, and I was quite mixed up, and I was not sure if I was straight or gay, and I was very, very, there was a lot of suffering inside of me. I went through school, I started drinking around 19, a bit before, in parties at my parents' place at Christmas, and I remember the first time I drank, at my parents', it was Christmas time, and that pressure that I had in me start to disappear, and I start to feel bigger, and I start to speak, because I was not a person who spoke a lot. But then I remember speaking with my aunts and loving everybody, and you know, it was until I became sick, because I didn't have any control. I started to realize I want more alcohol and more alcohol, and right away at that time I start to feel good to a state where I was vomiting. So all my drinking career, that's what happened. I was feeling great until, not at the end, but so the drinking started, I would say, around 19. And I knew at that time that probably I was gay, but I wasn't sure. And I went to my first gay club when I was 19 in the west side of the town at that time. And had my first sexual experience at that time. But to have my first sexual experience, I was so shy that I needed to drink. I couldn't have sex sober. And that lasts for 23 years, because I drank for 23 years. So for 23 years, I had sex with alcohol, without being sober. So the drinking starts slowly, but like it says in the literature, I don't know where the problem started, but it was cunning, and it's slowly, and then I realized that I realized that my life was working, because I had a profession. I mean, I went to university, and still with all those fear inside, I went through university, and I was able to start working. But the way I was living at that time was work and partying during the weekend. That was my life, and it was my life for 23 years, I guess. And I thought, for me, it was safe. It was something that I knew. It was the only thing I knew. Alcohol was the only thing I knew. The only thing that at one point removed all the anxiety that I had, but it got worse at the end, but at the beginning it worked. Remove all the part of my shyness, remove my inhibition. And I didn't know until I've been in the program for 3.5 years, that I had a problem with alcohol. I start to feel that I was trying to have had some flashes at points that maybe had a problem. But I was in total denial. For me, an alcoholic was somebody who was totally intoxicated in an emergency department, who had lost everything on the street. I couldn't associate myself with that. Of course, I couldn't accept it. And throughout those 23 years, I realized that I did a lot of stuff while I was drunk, and that I was protected. When I look back, I realized that I was protected. I did a lot of crazy stuff, put myself in dangerous situation. I had like two lives, that rational professional life, and my personal life was totally fucked up. I learned how to work, but I didn't know how to live. And that's what is happening right now. I'm learning how to live, which my parents taught me some stuff, teachers taught me some stuff, but I didn't know how to live with myself, basically. I didn't know Luke, basically. I'm going to slow down a bit, I'm a bit nervous. I have a lot of pride. So when I was going to bars, I was going, first of all, to enter a bar and to cruise out to drink at home before. And it's very rare that you saw me in the bar, like walking like that, you know. It was very hard to walk very straight. But I was doing little games. Like in the same bar, you could have different bar, and I would have a beer there with a shooter. Then I would go, because I was afraid that the barman knew that I had a problem, so I would go to a different bar like that. Or going to La Société de l'Alcool at home, to a different one, because I didn't want to know people to know that I was having a drinking problem. I moved from Montreal at one point to Philadelphia. I worked there. I was working there in open heart surgery, intensive care. And during my weekend, the only relief I had, because it was a lot of stress, you know, before I came here, when Larry asked me, I said, oh, geez, I don't know if I'll be able to speak English. And I didn't ask myself this question when I went to Philadelphia. Of course, I'm speaking English, but you see, all the fear comes all the time, and I'm denying myself all the time and putting myself down all the time, which is changing slowly. So I put myself in dangerous situation. I'm not going to name everything I did while I was drunk, but I did crazy stuff. In Philadelphia, for example, I was going to after-hours party, and I vaguely remember going with three other guys, and at one point I'm in the wrong part of the city, and I see a gun in the car, and I mean, it's totally crazy. And at one point I can vaguely hear myself that I'm from the CIA or something, you know, to escape from death, because I feel danger. And I remember the car pulling over the sidewalk and pushing me on the sidewalk and rolling, being full of laceration and totally in fear, but still denying that I had an alcohol problem. So always nobody knew. I was drinking alone, and nobody knew that I had a problem. Also, if I was going to my parents to visit them, I would have a drink, but then thinking that maybe in 2 hours I was going to a bar and have more drinks, you know. So I was always on drinking, but at times on the break, so early break. At the end, how I arrived in Alcoholics Anonymous, I didn't lose any. Well, I didn't lose anything. I didn't have anything. So I had my job, but all my money was going. Basically, all my money was going toward the alcohol. And I was going to the same, because I have the same routine. I was doing the same thing over and over. You know, every weekend going to the same restaurant, drinking the same thing. Going to the same bar, being recognized, you know, la seule reconnaissance, the only recognition that I had was when the waiter knew my kind of beer I was drinking, the alcohol. That was, you know, it for me. And I was going to the same restaurant, and the waitress was serving me, and I saw there was something different about her. I didn't know what it was, but something was different. And I told her, well, you look, I don't know why, but you look different in your eyes, there's something different. And she told me, well, I'm an alcoholic. She told me right there in the restaurant, I'm an alcoholic, and I'm going to Alcoholics Anonymous. And she didn't mention anything. She didn't say, oh, you might have a problem. She said, I was on a defensive mode, so I started to say, well, maybe I have a problem. And That was 6 months before I joined Alcoholics Anonymous. Maybe I have a problem. And during that summer, before I joined Alcoholics Anonymous, the suffering started to increase. I started to be like, I was drinking, and the pressure didn't go away. My fear didn't go away. I was not able to get drunk. I was, you know, passing from suffering, continuing suffering, and then vomiting, and then having some period of blackouts. Again, I'm a professional who's helping people during the day, and on weekends I'm hiding in parks and vomiting after, you know, you could see me hiding in parks, vomiting. I would go in the bar and start to drink and vomit in the toilet and coming back. And one night in January, shame brought me here, I guess. I vomited at 9 o'clock in front of a dépanneur, in front of a grocery store, and it was crowded, full of people. I couldn't run away. I couldn't run to a park. I couldn't hold it. And I vomited, and then I became like sober for 5 seconds. I realized I was full of shame, you know, full of shame. And people were looking at me, and I felt so much ashamed. So the shame is coming back, but this is just my past experience. It's like when we share that we go through the same type of emotion that we live through. It's a good thing for me because sometimes in my present life right now, I forget sometimes that where I come from. At the end, I was drinking a lot in my apartment. I was not an angry person while I was drinking. I was not, you know, I just want to be asleep. I just want to sleep. I didn't want to feel anything, and I was almost feeling nothing at the end. But the isolation was terrible. The feeling of, like they say in the big book, the feeling of being, I felt I was in a cave, and the door was almost closed, and I was getting ready to stay there. And so the morning after I vomited in front of the dépanneur, I went to see the waitress at a restaurant, and I said, I think I have a problem. So nothing major happened. I mean, I just went there. It was very simple. I went there, and she said, well, and it's a stranger. She doesn't know me at all. And she said, well, come to my place this evening, and I'll make some coffee. And so she did a 12-step with me. She gave me the questionnaire of AA, and it was like I'm a perfectionist, so it was like going to an exam. It took me a long, long time to answer those questions. And I'm an intelligent person, but it was like I was not seeing, denial is so strong that I was having problems to concentrate and read the question. I didn't want to be an alcoholic at that time. And I remember it came very, I said it very, very lightly. It was like low tone of voice because I'm an alcoholic. I said in front of that waitress, I said, I'm an alcoholic. But I said, what do I do now? So she gave me a list of meetings, and I didn't want to go to straight meeting. I was petrified. She gave me, well, she said, there's no problem, there's gay AA meeting, and you could go there if you want. And so the next day I went to my first meeting, which I didn't like. I was totally in a paranoid state. I didn't want anybody to recognize me. And the first person that I meet in the door is somebody that I know. And it was in a church basement at Saint-Pierre-Apôtre. And I didn't like the color of the wall, and I was so terrified. I don't want to be here. And why are they having so much fun? Why are they laughing? Are they on something, or are they still drinking? and they're controlling their drinking. I didn't know anything about Alcoholic Anonymous. So, and the waitress told me the first night, well, in that, in, usually they, in front, in, at the beginning of the meeting, they have a, they ask if somebody is new, wants to come in, to take an envelope. And that night they forgot. So I was waiting and waiting and waiting, and I didn't say anything. But the next day I went, something happened that night. I guess what attracted me at that time was that I could see that people were having something special, they were having joy. What attracted me was the joy and the fun that they because I was not having fun. I was not an happy person at that time. And that attracted me. And the kindness of other guys that were there. I'm a very, like other alcoholic, very sensitive person, so I... I felt in love with AA during those first few days, which for me is very important. I don't know what I would do if I had to go to meetings. Of course, suffering brought me to those meetings, but now as I'm still suffering at times. But the suffering is less intense. So at the beginning, I did the suggestion of doing a lot of meetings, so 90 days, 90 meetings for 90 days, which I did, and j'ai fait du café, I did some, the coffee, and then I did a lot of meetings, some member brought me outside Montreal to do meetings, I got a few, I've been in the movement for 3.5 years, and I got a problem with trust. And I have trust issues, and I think I got three sponsors in 4.5 years. They were not perfect enough for me. Which is okay. I mean, this one's been a year and a half, so which is good for me. I'm trying as much as possible, 24 hours a day, to live the program. I'm not always constant. I mean, constant of reading the, which I did a lot at the beginning. Now it's I'm less constant with reading the literature, but I talk a lot. I'm lucky to have somebody at work that is in the program, and so I can phone him, or we meet regularly, and I can share my resentment or my whatever happened during that day, and that really frees me. Alcoholic Anonymous helps me to put words. It felt like all my emotion. It was one big bag of. It was all mixed up, and slowly, I can see slowly that I can put words in what's going on in my life. What is resentment? What is fear? What is shame? What is joy? I'm discovering that I'm a human being. I'm not something. I felt that I was dead before. I'm feeling alive now. I'm still afraid. I cannot say that fear is gone. totally. It's less intense. God. I think God is present in meetings. I feel that I'm a different person each time I come to a meeting. If I feel bad or anxious or whatever, usually, most of the time, something has been lifted. Maybe it's the sharing with other people. Maybe it's the somebody who share in front of us. Maybe it's... But there's something beyond the words that I feel that is going on in a meeting. I'm trying to let go. I'm a fighter, and I think it's a good thing that Larry asked me. Because last week I became afraid because one day and out of the blues I started to and it became very intense that suddenly I want a cigarette, which I stopped 2 years ago. I want a cigarette and I wanted to drink, and then I became afraid. And I walk and walk, and I was waiting for my glasses. Something happened to my glasses, and I want to escape, and I want, like, the same feeling came, and it became very intense. And then I start to pray. I pray God to remove that, because I didn't want to drink, and it went away. I realized this weekend and for the first since Thursday that Alcoholic Anonymous saved my life. Alcoholic Anonymous is helping me to discover who Luke is. And I think what I want, there was a lot of want in my life, but what I need, I guess, to feel would be to feel the love of God inside me, which I don't feel. So at times I still deny the presence of God. I still deny, like, he's running after me. I feel that I have to run after him, but he's running after me. But I want he or she, whatever, I don't know who God is. I know I want a loving God. And I know that I want to have sanity in my life. Alcohol was God for me. I used alcohol as a God for many years. And it really didn't work. So for any new people, or I just wish you to love doing meetings and to surround you with people and to talk to people like I do. I talk to different members a lot, and that is saving my life. And I No. I guess that's it. That's it.
Teared up there. A lot of emotion. It was beautiful.